Dress it up and make it real for me.
Kenny Hodge Podcast on its way to
dress
you.
It up and make it real for me.
New show, new attitude, new perspective.
Dress it up and make it real for me.
Good morning, podcast audience. It's Ken Hodge with an exciting Kenny Hodge podcast speaking directly to Columbus, Ohio, Citygate Processing Plant. Hey, let's get right into what we want to talk about this morning. Hey, you know, there's been an accident. There's been an accident involving a mail handler and a clerk. Now, listen to what it is I want to say to you very carefully, because I don't want anybody to misscrew or misunderstand what I'm trying to say. Accident involving mail handler and clerk. Mail handler and clerk collide while mail handler is driving forklift. Clerk gets leg ran over. Clerk gets taken to the hospital. Mail handler is not sent home. Yeah, I'm going to say that again for you. Mail handler and clerk involved in accident. Mail handler and clerk collide while mail handler is driving a forklift. The clerk gets ran over. I think the forklift ran over her leg. First responders, paramedics, and ambulance showed up. The clerk was taken away by the ambulance to the hospital because there was damage to her leg. Mail handler was allowed to stay at work. They only removed his license from him. Now, let me just break this down a little further for you, because I really don't want anyone getting the wrong idea about the message I'm trying to send. How is it that you can be involved in an accident and not be at least sent home for the rest of that day while there have been other mail handlers who have hit water pipes? In other words, have damaged structure and building equipment, and they were sent home. Now, there's two ways to look at this. We can look at this as Columbus's that prejudice bullshit that seems to show up in Columbus from time to time has appeared. Or we can look at this as from this point forward, the fact that you had an accident at work based on this particular accident means you will not be sent home, and in some cases they will do nothing to you. So depending on how you want to look at this is how this situation sizes up. Because I want to tell you something. If you look at the accident record, let's say for the past 6 months in Columbus, Ohio, I'm sure you are going to see a great disparity amongst mail handlers who have accidents and how each group of mail handlers are disciplined or corrected. And if you work in Columbus, Ohio, you need to be aware of this. Because if you're not in a group that seems to be okay if you have an accident, in fact, we'll get you trained back up the same day or the next day with no time lost, as opposed to you need to go home now until the investigation is complete and then we'll bring you back to work. You see, Columbus is openly taking different courses of actions on different mail handlers for pretty much the same offense. Open your eyes, Columbus, Ohio, and see what's going on, and don't stand idly by and accept it. If you do a comparison in Columbus, Ohio, to mail handlers who had accidents involving injury to other human beings, and the punishment or the initial action, let's not go to the end result, or the initial action taken I'm going to pretty much assure you that you're going to see certain groups of mail handlers when they have accidents that involve injury to other people. Immediately, they're never sent home. They're not sent home. Expeditiously, they're retrained and put back on the job. As opposed to, and again, I am saying groups because I want you to open your eyes and I want you to see this. Groups in the post office who have accidents, you'll notice that they are sent home. Retraining takes maybe a week sometime, depending on the group you fall in. Now, the reason I'm going to speak in generalities right now, because as this continues, I'm going to be more specific in group what groups mean and who I'm talking about. So right now, this is what I call a passive-aggressive way for Columbus, Ohio to acknowledge that they are treating mail handlers with disparity in treatment and correct it or allow this to continue, and then maybe we can put Columbus on view to the world on a national level. And when I say national level, I am not talking about a national union level. I'm talking about a national televised mass media. And just in case anyone is not clear, I don't represent any union. My voice is my voice. Again, I have no union affiliation. And when I say a union, any union. This is what I observe through my eyes, and I'm sure many others observe it, but I'm going to give you a platform to speak it out. Now, right is right, folks. And you see, when you start to take special treatment on special groups of people, you create, don't you say Ken Hodge did, you create a work environment that becomes unhappy and not productive. When employees are openly seeing that they are not getting treated equally or fairly based on groups or characteristics, then you begin to steal. And when I say you, the agency robs you of the quality of work life that Headquarters Postal Service has in place for you. See, there's nowhere in the rules and regulations where it instructs managers to treat different groups of people, mail handlers, clerks, letter carriers, differently. See, that happens through individual interpretation of a simple rule that says we will all be treated fairly. Fair days work for fair days pay. And I'm going to move on from that because I could probably talk on that subject for a couple of hours, but I want to touch one or two more things. And again, I speak to Columbus, Ohio, as a former manager, a former union president who has an allegiance to the craft to keep you aware. Okay? I'm not here telling you anything about your union because you should already know that. I'm not here telling you anything about anything other than what's happening in your office through my perspective. And if you're okay with it, then be okay with it. But if you're not, you might want to ask some questions, because if you show concern about what it is that I'm making you aware of, then more than likely the post office will address it. But you know, as with anything else, if you don't pay attention when it begins to go bad, when it goes from bad to worse, it is much harder to correct it. But let's move on to some other things that I just want to make you aware of. Real quick, that phone policy and dress code appears to be something that's important to the plant manager, because that policy has surfaced again. Now, again, post office lets you go 10, 15 years with being able to use your phone on the work floor. Now they want to stop it. Well, they're going to stop it, but you don't stop anything that's been in play for 15 years overnight. So I say to the all the folks that work there, if you understand that it is a rule, it is a regulation, and trust me, it is, then let's refocus our thought process on complying with it. I mean, you know, it's not really a hard thing. See, you can't fight everything. There are rules and regulations that they have a right to enforce. But while they're enforcing that rule and regulation, they make it so simple for you to raise objection, because while you can't have your phone, you have supervisors, MDOs, SDOs, implant support, riding around on carts while talking on their phone, riding around on bikes, talking on their phone or their radio. Now, let me just say to you, let me make it clear that with authorization, supervisors can have their phone on the floor. In fact, with authorization, anybody can have their phone on the floor. So when you read the, I think it's the 801 or the 805, it's an EL handbook, it's going to tell you that with authorization, it can take place. But now think about this. If the post office wants to crack down on telephone use on the work floor, do you think that they're going to put a policy in place that only supervisors can be on the telephone? I think they know enough about human behavior that when they bring in such a radical change, that they're going to need to comply with it also in order to make it effective. They won't comply, they can't comply, because again, you see them driving the yellow little carts that they have while on the phone. Now again, I'm sure there's such a thing called hands-free driving. You know, just put a piece in, connect your phone to an earpiece with a microphone, put it in your ear. So you are engaged in distracted driving, but now you want to shut down a policy about phones and with respect to dress wear. Let me tell you something. I heard something crazy today. A mail handler asked me a question about the dress policy. And actually, his mother asked me the question. Can they mandate you to wear certain color and style of shoes? No, your shoes have to be leather, okay? If they're green and they're leather, they're safe. They meet regulation. And if I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me. And the next item I want to talk about real quick is the driving policy. Come on, mail handlers. You have to be some kind of different to allow yourself to have a discussion or have any kind of confrontation with management about you not going the right way in that building. I'm sorry, there is no chaser to go with this particular drink. If the arrow says go left, go left. Come on, it don't take a whole lot to that. And while you're getting used to it, if you find yourself with the arrow says go left, because of force of habit, you go right. At some point, you're going to realize, wait a minute, let me turn around and go back the other way. Now, today, I noticed my supervisor, 204B, was out there actually doing driving observations. Come on now. How long do you have to be around to know that when the post office starts gathering data on you on a particular event, that you know they only gathered data because they're going to use that data against you when they have to bring discipline on you? Come on, you don't have to work here 100 years to understand that trend. But I'm simply saying, if you are a mail handler, now don't get me wrong, I understand, I don't care how big the arrows are, how yellow they are, if I am just used to coming out of the dock and going to my right, it's going to take me a minute to go get back to going to my left. But if I go to my right the way I'm used to going, which is counterproductive to the way the post office says, if I find myself going there, as soon as I realize I'm going the wrong way, I promise you I'm going to turn around and go the right way. You gotta, I can't tell you enough I can't stress enough to you, again, just as another employee talking to employees, how much more beneficial it's going to be when you all go just as they lay it out. Now, stop driving on the side trying to circumvent what it is that management wants. If management wants you to take 6 hours to do a job that would have taken you maybe three, take the six. Be good employees and follow their instructions. And I'm going to shut this podcast down. Last thing, with just a little comment on overtime on how they give it to people. I heard some of the craziest shit I ever heard today. Well, excuse me. No, they use this in Columbus a lot. They start skipping over overtime desireless mail handlers because they say they only want to bring in drivers. I say, no, hell no, that's not how that goes. If you want to bring in and you need that many drivers, now follow me because it's so simple that management can actually screw this up. You bring in the mail handlers right in rotation as per the overtime desire list, and in Columbus we only have one, right as per that list. Now, if you need drivers, you bring that next regular mail handler in on the overtime desire list, and you put up one of your people that's already at work. Do you not see where you just accomplished your mission? But what Columbus does, and it's wrong, and again, I'm telling the mail handlers it's wrong. If you okay with it, then so be it for you. But when they start skipping around because I only need drivers, I mean, really, that's just crazy. The overtime desire list is a rotated list. And if you need four mail handlers, you bring in the next four available mail handlers on the list. And if those four don't provide you the driving skill that you need enough, you take the two that can drive, and then the other two that were in because of rotation, they may go do the foot soldier work, as we refer to it in Columbus, and you take two of your MHAs or other employees that are already at work, and you put them on higher level. You have just maintained integrity with the overtime desire list, and that's not hard. In fact, it's twice as hard for you to do that crazy shit that you do as far as, no, don't bring Bobby in, bring Janice in because Janice drives. No, don't bring Carol in, bring Tony in because Tony drives. No, that's not how it goes. In Columbus, Ohio, you are making it really complicated and full of crap when you do it that way. If you simply go exactly by the overtime, the list, which I think was put together for fifth graders, because it simply says, if you sign up for the list, your name goes on the list. When the need of overtime arises, you go right down the list. Come on, it's very simple. It's not hard. If you try doing it the way it's supposed to be done, I mean, hell, just give it a try. And if that's not easier, then you go do it the way you think you want to do it. But I'm telling you, you just bring the people in right in rotation, and then you let the supervisors make the moves so that you maintain the level fours, level fives, the number of drivers, because that seems to be the war cry now. That, you know, we need drivers. We only want drivers. No, you need mail handlers on the list. Hey, that's my podcast this morning for you, Columbus, Ohio. And again, and I'm going to say this until I'm certain everybody understands this. I don't speak for any unions, so please don't associate what I say with coming from the APW, MPMHU, the NALC. No, I'm just a mail handler with years of experience, sharing my view with those who will listen. No more, no less. Are we good? Hey, let's have a great day. And just have a great day.